Good afternoon. I'm Peter Himschoot, and I will be talking about, well, a little bit about the future of the web and how MVC4 fits into that. Today, Microsoft released MVC4 beta, and of course, I also want to drill down a little bit more into MVC, show you a couple of the details, and I hope to show you a couple of best practices as well. So, I work for a company called U2U. Well, I've seen a lot of familiar faces, so most of you probably already know us, but we're a company, a training company based in Brussels, and we do a lot of training on .NET, SharePoint, BizTalk, SQL Server, BI, and now more and more things like HTML5. So, the next session is going to be on HTML5, and the session after that is going to be on WebSockets. So I hope to see you back then. So, what will I be talking about? I'm going to talk about first by the future of the web, or the state of the web. Then we're going to look at a very important new concept, responsive web design. Some of you are probably already doing that, but it is going to change the way you're going to be building websites. Also going to talk a little bit about mobile web. Now, I know that Scott Guthrie showed jQuery Mobile, so I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but for those of you who missed Scott Guthrie's session, I will be showing you some of the stuff. Basically, it's fairly simple. And then, at the end, we're going to look at something called recipes, NuGet recipes. So, building tomorrow's web. Who can tell me what this is? It's an easy one, right? The World Wide Web. Now, have a good look at it, because it is drastically changing. That World Wide Web that we used to do is slowly going away. So what about yesterday's web? Well, in the beginning, the web was based upon documents. You wanted to show your latest paper using the web. Of course, soon, it was used for commercial stuff. So people started to generate dynamic HTML. And where did they do that? They did that on the server. And then we had things like ASP, which evolved into ASP.NET. Now, the thing is, all the work is being done on the server. The browser, in the old web, is nothing but a way to show that generated HTML. So the browser was doing nothing, and that was a good thing, because browsers in the beginning, they didn't give you a lot of stuff to work with, client-side anyway. So, today's web. Today we have ASP.NET with AJAX. So if you use the update panel, for example, you can actually make the server generate some of that HTML, and that only that part that has changed gets sent over the wire to the client, and then the browser uses some JavaScript to fit that in wherever it needs to be, avoiding that dreaded postback flicker effect you get. But it's still not enough. So already, today we have a lot of websites that are using ASP.NET web forms that are using AJAX to make things more fluent. And then, of course, we have ASP.NET MVC. Who here is doing ASP.NET MVC? Okay, most of you. Well, MVC is... Actually, what I want to say here is MVC is going to be the way for building tomorrow's web, because it has everything you need, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. Now, again, HTML5 is also on the horizon. You might say, I'm already using it, yeah, but it is still not a full standard yet, but a lot of websites are already using that. So the thing is, if you want to use HTML5 with MVC, that's now part of the deal. And now if you look at this one, what is this one? This might be a little bit harder for you to figure out. Anyone?
Highway to Hell?
Yeah, okay, thank you, Chris. That's what friends are for, huh? What you see is a road, so mobile web. Mobile web changes things again drastically. Why? What has changed? Well, anybody ever go abroad and then take their cell phone along and then do some mobile browsing? And then you come home again, and then you get this nice bill, 50 pages long, with an amount like, when you use the mobile browser, the internet is no longer free. You're paying for each byte. So if you're going to build mobile sites, we should definitely try to make sure that whatever you're sending over the wire is as minimum as possible. And the solution for that is using JSON. Now, of course, instead of having the server generate all that HTML and then just throwing it to the browser to show it, what we're going to see is more and more that the browser is actually dynamically going to generate the necessary HTML client-side, which means JavaScript. And I think everybody soon is going to be learning about JavaScript, well, if you're a web developer, anyway. And I know a lot of people think it's an ugly language. Well, the thing is, JavaScript is not really that ugly, but you really don't have to, you don't want to look at it as just a slightly different version of C#. It is a completely different language, and if you use that, things start to come together. And especially if you use some of the libraries that make life easy, such as Knockout. I'm going to use Knockout here. And some people will probably say, don't use Knockout, use this one. And then somebody else says, don't use that one, use this one. Actually, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a client-side library that can make your life easy, why not? So, let's have a quick look at the demo I'm going to be using in all my sessions. Now, what I have here is a little website, and I decided to take my favorite subject, namely BIA. Okay? And as you can see, I'm very bad at design. Okay? I'm really, really bad. Okay? A couple of years ago, I was teaching some designers, I was building something, and said, nice, isn't it? And they were like, poor little boy. So I know I'm definitely not design material, but now, let me show you a little bit. What I'm using is MVC. Whoops. No. Don't close anything. Keep that. I need that in a moment. Let me show you, for example, the beer controller. What you're going to see here is two different things. I hear people laughing. I hope it's... You have the index method. You have the create method. And if I scroll down, you have other methods. And all of these methods simply generate return view. Why? In that view, you'll find some HTML, and that HTML is going to do all the work. Now, let me show you, for example, the index view. If I go here, index view, what you'll see is just a little bit. Well, actually, I'm getting some JavaScript. I'm having a little bit of HTML, and that's it. What am I doing? Well, there's some JavaScript behind this. And that JavaScript, let me show you again, index.js, is this. What is that JavaScript doing? It's saying, go back to the server, go get some objects representing JSON, and then do data bind. And the data binding is just a single line of code. It's this one. I want you to create for me a view model, and then do the data binding. And if I look in my index HTML, you find this stuff. What does Knockout do? It actually is going to do a for each. It's going to say, walk through all the beers, and then for each beer, put an image there, and then use the source image property, use the image property as a source, use the name as the alt text, and then put the name as text right beside that. That's it. Nice and short. Actually, this is model view, view model, inside the client, inside the browser. So anybody who's doing who's doing Silverlight with MVVM, this is the same idea. It's almost the same syntax. The only thing missing here is the curly braces. Okay. So that's kind of the future. Now, let's go back to that controller again. There's a second kind of method I'm having here. And if you look carefully, these actually do some useful work. They actually go and build for me a JSON message. And the way I do that, I fetch something from the database, I return it as a JSON object. And this is easy. I'm just saying, build me some JSON and use as data my beer object. And my beer object is really a .NET object. What I did here is I mapped JSON to a .NET object and vice versa. If I'm going to get a list of all my beers, what you'll see here is just return all the beers I have. If I'm going to get a specific beer, I'm going to get that beer from my data source somewhere, and I'm just going to return that. That's it. Okay. So, that's kind of the future of the web. Why? Because we're sending the minimum amount of stuff over the wire. We're sending just enough HTML over the wire, and we're sending just enough JSON over the wire. And it does mean changing a little bit, but to be honest, I think this works like a charm. Okay, now, another thing, of course. What has also changed with the introduction of mobile? Well, you have normal mobile devices, you have large mobile devices called tablets, and you have PCs. What's the difference? They all have a different screen size. So if you're going to build a website, you have to make sure that that website is going to work on all those different screen sizes. How are you going to do that? Well, of course, one way you could do that is to detect the browser. And you don't want to do that. You could use some browser detection and then render a different HTML for each kind of browser. But that's not going to help you with the screen size. So, what we need to have is a way to do that. And actually, how do you do that? Well, there's some very good books out there on responsive web design, but basically it comes down to two things. First thing, instead of using absolute sizes, always use relative sizes. Imagine that I just got back a web design from a designer, and the designer says, well, I want this to be 960 pixels wide, and the left side needs to be 566 pixels, and the right side needs to be 331 pixels. So what you do, is you just take out your calculator, you say, okay, I'm going to imagine that the, should I say, pink bit is the 100%. It's the full width of my screen. And then the interior area, the green stuff, is going to be relatively 58.958333%. And the right bit is going to be 34.479 and so on percent. So what you do is you just take your calculator, you do the math, you just copy that into your cascading style sheet, and then the browser takes care of resizing stuff. Of course, at a certain point in time, that's not going to work anymore. At a certain point in time, your screen is going to become too small. So what you're going to do then is you're going to use media queries. A media query is a very simple concept. It allows you to say, if I'm running, for example, on the screen, and the screen has a size maximum 300 pixels, I want you to do it this way. If my screen is between 300 and 600 pixels, I want you to do it this way. And if it's larger, I want you to do it this way. This responsive web design is not that hard, but it is going to change the way you have to think about doing design. And there are many different examples out there. For example, this one. Let's go full screen. Come on. Okay, I knew that this was going to happen. Oh, okay. Back to this one. So, what I have here is a responsive web design page. Oh, come on. Demo gods, help me. Okay, I'm just going to close everything here. Reopen that. Well, let's, for example, go to job ad. Very well-known website in Belgium. Actually, it is completely responsive, because if I make it full, if I take the full width, you see that all the stuff is nicely distributed. But as I go smaller, you will suddenly see things jump. See? It is making space because it says, I don't have enough space anymore. I'm going to make things flow in a different direction. And suddenly we're into the kind of mobile layout in which things are flown, where the flow goes from top to bottom. So you can do that quite easily with CSS. And, of course, MVC has that built in. So in MVC 4, you now get a new bunch of new templates that kind of give you a jump start on this system. Of course, you can also find these templates in other places, but finally now, when you create a new thing, you're going to get this responsive web design in it. So, quick look, if I'm going to build a new web project, I can just say create new project. Oops. And I take the MVC4 application. And it's going to ask me if I want to have an intranet application or an internet application, whatever. I'm just going to hit OK here. And then as I run that, ah, come on. Actually, I'm doing all my demos on Windows 8 with Visual Studio 11. So just want to warn you, it might crash. It doesn't do that a lot, but of course during demos. So if I'm going to look at this new website, you're going to get responsive web design. Come on. So what I mean here, again, if this is full size, if I make things smaller and smaller, you see that layout changes. Again, fairly easy. And that's actually what I did on my BS site. I used the same template. So I didn't do anything special here. I just took the same template. I modified a little bit of the contents, but that's it. Okay. Which brings me to the coding bit. Let's have a look at asynchronous controllers. Now, I hope everybody saw the new async features in C# and in VB.NET. Now, if you build a website, whenever you have a controller that needs to do a lot of, well, let's say, it needs to do something long-running, a lot of I.O., for example, what you're going to get is that that controller is going to keep on running and is going to block a thread. So what you can do there is you can make that controller asynchronous. And you could already do that with MVC3, but in MVC4 it just became a lot easier. What we have is this new async support. So imagine that I get this thing. I get a controller. And I now need to turn that into an asynchronous version. What do I need to do? Well, there's almost no work I need to do. First thing what I need to do is I need to derive from the async controller base class. And actually, if you have a controller with already 50 actions, you just derive async controller and everything still works. So it doesn't mean that all your actions suddenly have to become asynchronous. No. You can do that. Just port stuff one by one. And then the next thing you do is you make this method support async. Now, the syntax here is a little bit elaborate. You have to say public async task action result. Because in there, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the normal body of my method, and I'm just going to wrap it into a task. I'm going to wait for that task, and I'm going to return that. Your end users will not see any difference. But your server is suddenly going to be able to handle a lot more requests because the threads that are used by the tasks are used way more efficiently. So it's going to be able to reuse a lot of those threads more easily. Okay. So, simple demo here. What I have is an upload mechanism. Let me first show you the part of the site that does that. So what I can do is I can add a new beer. And I can select an image, so I'm going to select an image. Let's take this one. And as I upload this, now it's on my website. I can now type in some stuff. Anybody know what Lindemann's alcohol is? I think it's 3.4, I don't know. I actually don't care. If I do that, I suddenly get this on my thing. So what I did is I just created client-side, a little bit of JSON. I posted that back to the server. The server keeps track of that. And then when I go and get all the beers again, I get this new list of beers. And this stuff is in here. Now let me show you the controller. For this, I have this thing, an upload controller. Okay. Let me go full screen. So this is basically the method. Just imagine I just made this async. This is the normal method. I'm going to make that async. And basically, what I do is I just say, OK, I want to make this an async controller. I'm going to make this return a task. That task is going to return an action result, part one. Then the major part here, that's the bit that does a lot of blocking. This bit, as you can see, it is saving to my local disk. Now, that disk, it could be slow. So I want to make sure that this is done as asynchronous as possible. So I'm going to create a task. So I'm going to say, create me a task. And to do that, I'm just going to say task, give me an actual result, task. And I want you to automatically create for me a new task. And I just use a Lambda function to make it do the work. And then I just close this stuff. Okay. What am I forgetting? I'm forgetting a bracket. Is that going to do the thing? Nope. That's better. Actually, this almost looks like JavaScript. So next thing I'm going to do is I'm actually going to tell the system, do that, and if you have a blocking call, you reuse that same thread. So I'm going to say await for the task, and then I'm just going to do return task.result. Now, if I were to repeat this in other places, you would see the same repetitive kind of coding. You could almost make this into a code snippet, and surround with code snippet, where you just take this piece of text and then just wrap it into a task. And that's it. So now I have made this asynchronous. Okay, let's see if it builds. And I can try that again. By the way, I'm going to try something else. What I have here is the new version of Internet Explorer. It's not a true browser yet, but you can still run it. So I could use this with my website. Come on. There it is. So if I'm going to hit this add, what I did here is also made this better client-side. But as you can see, if I try that, this preliminary preview always crashes. So I'm going to fix that. Oops, what did I just do? Okay. Alt-Control-Return, go out of full screen. Let me try that one more time. If I want to make this one work, I need to do something awful, namely use a debugger. By the way, how many of you know that Internet Explorer and all the other current browsers have a very good debugger? There's all the people who do regular JavaScript, of course. So what I can do here is I'm going to use a debugger. I'm going to ask it to go for this script. And in this script, I just need to put a little breakpoint. Where this place? Let's hope it's going to work. So start debugging. Let's hit this button again. And now, if I just keep on running, it's going to work. Now, you might say, what's different? Well, if I'm going to hit this button, what they also did in HTML5 is to have very good support for things like figuring out how far your upload is going on. So instead, when I do an upload, I really would like to see the progress. How far are we? Now, in Internet Explorer 10, the new version, when I do that, did you see the green bar? It actually fills up as it gets progress back. So the network system actually tells you how far you are. It's a simple thing, but this now happens server-side asynchronously and client-side and can get feedback. If I'm going to upload a 50 terabyte image, I would be able to see that. I would be able to wait for that. So some of the things that used to be very hard are now actually quite easy to do. Okay, so making something asynchronous, not that hard. And basically, you don't have to think too hard about it. Let's talk a little bit more about mobile. In MVC4, what they added are two things. They added jQuery Mobile. jQuery Mobile is a jQuery extension that makes it really easy to turn a site into a mobile-looking site. It comes with CSS styles. It comes with JavaScript. And what you need to do is you need to just put certain attributes on your HTML, telling it, giving it hints, what to do, and it takes care of all the rest. Now, what if your website is not that easily portable mobile, or you just don't want to have all your pages looking mobile? Microsoft introduced something else called display modes. With display mode, you can actually distinguish the browser, or you could actually return a different view depending on some kind of condition. And the typical condition, of course, is if it's this browser, let's do that, and if it's that browser, let's do that. Now, I have to warn you, this is very dangerous, doing this kind of browser detection, but it can sometimes be quite handy. In the main hall, did you see cutterope.ie? Everybody saw that? It's a little game. They ported that from the iPad. So at home, I have this tablet, Windows 8 tablet. So I said, hey, I'm going to try that. So I went to cutterope.ie, and it told me the following. Huh? I'm using Internet Explorer 10 here. So you have to be very careful doing browser detection using the user agent. Oh, you can easily fix that, by the way. How do you do that? You go to the debugger, and in the debugger, you can tell it, hey, why don't you fake the user agent and tell it that you're using Internet Explorer 9? And if I now hopefully refresh this, I'm going to get the full game. See? So it's not that hard to fix it, but it's kind of dirty, right? Whoa. No music. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about those two things. Well, the first thing I need to explain, if you're going to take an existing website and you're going to port it to a mobile website, you're going to get a very bad experience. Why? Well, if you're going to run your website inside the browser, what happens with browsers? Mobile browsers, I mean. Well, when the iPhone was released, they saw that all the websites didn't look nice. So they did a little dirty trick. What they said is we're going to define a viewport. The viewport is actually going to be a logical screen. And then on top of that, we're going to have the physical screen. And then you can use the swipe movement to walk over that physical screen. Now, normally what's going to happen in your HTML, the HTML is going to be fitted on the physical screen. So your whole website suddenly gets scaled down to fit in that physical screen, and you get small, small, small text. Now, if you then give it a hint, and what Apple did, actually, is they added this little hint, the viewport meta-tag. When you do that, you can tell it what kind of viewport you want, and then you can say, okay, make the viewport the size of the device, and there are some more options here, but if you do so, what you're going to get is it's going to scale so your website is still readable on that. So if you take an existing website and you want to make it look nicer on a mobile browser, that's the only thing you need to do. That's all. Now, if you want to change those things, you need display modes. Like I said, what is display mode? Well, first of all, display mode looks like this. It's kind of a condition. When you see this condition, when you see the browser is like the Windows phone, and how do you do that? You look, for example, in the user agent string. So if the user agent string, I can find Windows phone, I know I have a Windows phone browser. And then I can say, use that view. Now, if you look inside ASP.NET MVC 4, you're going to see that there are already two. The first one is going to detect if you're using a mobile browser. And again, this is dangerous because that one detects most regular mobile browsers, but not all of them. And then the second one is kind of the default. Just pick the default. So, how is it going to work? Well, again, here I have my mobile site. What I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to take one of my views, like this one. And what I can do here is I could create a copy of it. Come on. Paste. And then I'm going to rename that to like .wp, Windows Phone or Wii Phone or whatever. And then if I'm going to visit the website with this thing, it is going to try to pick this one. So to make a change, I'm going to say WP list of beers. Let's try that one. So how do you do that? How do you debug this thing? Well, the first thing, of course, I tried to do was to install the Windows Phone SDK. But on Windows 8, it says, no comprendo. I don't run on Windows 8. Luckily, again, here with the debugger, I can fool things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back here, again, using the debugger. And I'm going to tell it to actually return the Windows Phone user agent string. You can choose both. You can use the very first version of the Windows Phone, the Windows Phone 7, or I can use the new version if you have the Mongo update, which is the IE9. So if I try to reload that one again, hopefully it's going to work, I get a mobile view, as you can see. What happened to this one? Let me double check. I think... And I know what I forgot. I know what I forgot. What did I forget? Well, if you want to add your own Windows Phone, you actually have to do this kind of stuff. You have to add your own detection. So you just say display modes, insert this detection. When I see the Windows Phone, I'm going to use the WPhone extension. So let's try that one again. Let's build. And then if I go back to my browser and I hit refresh, I get the Windows Phone look. See? It's not that hard. Whoops. Yeah. Okay. Now, what if you want to customize that? What if you're not happy using this kind of thing? What if you want to build your own mechanism? Let's say you want to give a different view depending if somebody is male or female. Well, instead of coding different views inside your action method, what you could say is, I'm going to add a display mode. And that display mode, in there you just implement, or should I say override, the transform path method. And in that transform path, you call a condition, which is represented by my check condition method here. This check condition. If that returns true, I'm actually going to take the suffix in which I created that and then use it to select another view. So really the big thing here is this check condition. And you implement it any way you want. What you could do, for example, is in your controller, you could figure out the gender of the person, put it in session, and then in this, you could get it from session again. And then implement your condition. Okay? Now let's also have a look at jQuery Mobile. Well, one thing I did is on this site is in my shared, I have the layout. This is a normal layout. And I made a copy of it. And in the copy, I just did a couple of things. First thing I did is I added jQuery Mobile. And if you want to do that, you're actually going to get two cascading style sheets, and you're going to get JavaScript for jQuery Mobile. So I just added these two things. By the way, what's the easiest way to get jQuery Mobile onto your website? Just use NuGet. Who's familiar with NuGet? Not everyone, or some of you just don't want to raise your arms. NuGet is a package manager. NuGet is a system like, I want to use jQuery Mobile, but to use jQuery Mobile, I need to use jQuery. So, are you happy going and downloading jQuery and then downloading jQuery Mobile and then putting it all in there? With NuGet, it's a piece of cake. You just say, I want you to add jQuery Mobile, and that knows all the dependencies, and it installs all those dependencies for you too. If you're not using NuGet right now, once you get used to this, you'll never, ever... we'll want to go back to the old way of working. So how does it work? You just go to NuGet. Oops. This is going to give you this fairly familiar dialog. And then here you can do things like look for mobile. And if my internet connection does not let me down, I'm going to get things like jQuery Mobile. So you just click on this and you hit install. But I've already done that just to make sure. If you want to get other things, just select. So what does that do? Actually, it adds in my content. It's going to add stuff for jQuery Mobile. So it adds these two cascading style sheets, normal and minimized. And as you remember, now you have the automatic minimization if you want. So you don't actually have to use min. You can just use the full version. And then, of course, it's going to add things like jQuery Mobile. And what it also does, by the way, it adds jQuery 1.6.4. By default, you get 1.6.2. Yeah. And it figures it all out for you. Okay. Now, once you have that in there, the next thing you need to do is you need to put data attributes inside your HTML. Now, I'm already using HTML5 tags, so I'm actually saying here, this thing is my header. And then on the bottom, of course, I'm saying, this thing is my footer. And then the real section, the content, I'm just saying, this is my content. And that actually takes care of most of the work. Now, what I've also done, and maybe I should remove this first. And let's use the browser again to look. I have to be very careful that I don't get hit by caching and stuff. I get this kind of look. See? I'm getting the URI, the links here, and they're in here, but they don't look mobile enough. And what I'm talking about mobile is you have to be able to hit it with this thing. Now, I'm the perfect mobile tester. Why? I have fingers the size of sausages. If I try to use things like Outlook on my Windows 8 tablet, and I want to like select something, it doesn't work. Luckily, it comes with a pen, a stylus. That one works. So it is going to mean that certain applications will also have to drastically make things bigger. But this thing is not big enough. I wanted to make it bigger. So what I can also do with jQuery Mobile, again, that's kind of easy. I can just tell it that wherever my tags were, wait a moment, here, I can say that this thing should be a navbar. And you just do this. Now, what does jQuery Mobile actually do? When jQuery Mobile gets loaded, it actually runs over all your HTML. It looks for these attributes, and it changes your HTML elements to look like mobile stuff. So that's easy. So what I also have is this index. And currently, I'm actually using the mobile and the W Phone version. So in this index, I might also need to change a couple of things. So what I can do here, for example, I have a list. Now, let me show you the list without, and then the new list. So if I refresh this again, I'm getting these nice buttons, but this is still not looking like a mobile list. Again, life is easy. What I do is I go here, and I say data role is a list view. Save again, build, and then revisit this thing. Again, let's refresh. And now I get this more like bar kind of look. And I can just put on some more attributes and make it more look more and more mobile. So it's really not that hard jQuery Mobile. Okay, so what did I show you? I showed you the display modes that allows you to swap between two things. And I showed you the jQuery Mobile attributes you can put on things. Now, there is one problem I'm having here. When I hit this thing, again, I forgot something. No. So it looks like there's maybe a caching problem. Let's try that again. See this? Actually, what I was using in the second window is when I hit this button, I'm using a display. I'm using a dialog. I'm using jQuery UI to make part of my HTML a pop-up dialog. And again, this is really easy with jQuery Mobile, but the moment you use jQuery UI, this is easy with jQuery UI. The moment I use jQuery Mobile, jQuery Mobile steals that behavior again, and then I get this crappy little thing. Now, I could decide to redesign this thing. I could also decide to just leave it be. Maybe it's good enough. And I'm going to do that. And for that, I'm going to show you this thing. When you have display modes, you can actually tell it, only use the display mode if the master and the child are both mobile. So what's going on here? In my project, I have the layout, which is a mobile version. And then when I browse to it, it finds this version. And actually, they're not compatible. But if I go to the upload, this window here, there's no mobile version. See? There's no mobile. So what's going to do? It's going to say, hey, I don't find a mobile for create. I do find one for the layout. I'm not going to mix them together. I'm going to take this one and ensure that we have consistent behavior. So it's a way to gradually move your application into a mobile version as well with display modes. And again, the technique is quite easy. You just tell it to make sure that everything is consistent. Just set this property to true. Again, let's build. Let's try again. Hopefully now things are still going to work the way they should. Okay, this is poor man's way of testing something mobile, but it generally works nicely. Which brings me to recipes. Now, I just showed you NuGet. Now, NuGet is a system that allows you to install a library. Now, once that library is installed, you don't need to use NuGet anymore. But some of those libraries ask you to repeat stuff. So a recipe is a plugin for NuGet that allows you to tell in Visual Studio, I want you now to repeat this step 10, 20, 30 times. And then next week, you see that you've got some stuff, you can then tell it, repeat again. So a recipe is really a plugin for NuGet, but the idea is you want to have it running multiple times. And of course, you want to have some kind of user interface. So how do you build a recipe? Well, it's kind of cool. There's a recipe for building recipes. Recipeception or something, if you get that joke. If you ever saw Inception, you know what I'm talking about. So there's a recipe for building a recipe, and this makes it really easy. So if I want to build a recipe, what I can do here is I just create... Oh, still debugging, apparently. Yeah, stop. So I just create a new class library. Hit OK. And then I'm going to use the power of NuGet. So I'm just going to right-click, go to the NuGet packages, and I'm going to look for a recipe. The recipe for building recipes. So I just tell it recipe, and hopefully it's going to find it. See here, this thing, and I just hit install. What is this thing going to do? It's going to add an assembly in my project. It's going to add a new class in my project. It's going to do a lot of interesting stuff. And that's it. So what did it just do? It added for me the microsoftvisualstudio.web.mvc.extensibility-assembly. Whoa. Now, I have to warn you, this assembly name will change later. This is just a developer preview, so in the future it's going to have, hopefully, a shorter name. Now, what it also did is it built this thing for me, which is really the coder for building a recipe. And a recipe is really a class that has an interface. And you can choose iFolderRecipe or iFileRecipe. And then in there, you implement typically these two things, execute and isValidTarget. isValidTarget is actually going to tell you, hey, recipe, can you do your stuff on this kind of folder? And then in the execute, you do your stuff on that folder, which is typically showing a little dialog box, asking people some questions, and then when you hit OK, you do whatever you need to do. And then some of the other stuff is just an icon, a name, a description, simple strings. Now, for this to work, you also need to use the Managed Extensibility Framework, MEF. hope you're familiar with it, but it makes this really easy to build. Math makes it really easy to build a plugin. So I'm just saying, hey, Math, this is a recipe. For you, figure it out what to do with that. And Visual Studio will do so. Now, you also see that it's using NuGet, because in here you're going to get this little NuGet file, which allows you to, well, give it a little bit more data. It allows you to put a description in here, and then the idea is I build my recipe and I can then move it up into NuGet, either private NuGet or the public NuGet. Okay, to save a little bit of time, I actually already have one that's kind of ready. So what you're going to get here is a simple recipe. Actually, I have to be honest, I stole part of the implementation from Philip Haack. Well, steal, lend. Just because it's about building wind farms, and it's not that hard. So what I have here is the first thing is this isValidTarget method. The isValidTarget method, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say folder. Is this actually the views folder? Now, when you use recipes, when you use that new assembly, that assembly comes with a bunch of extension methods that make it really easy to say folder. Are you a views folder? Are you this kind of MVC folder? And so on. So this is trivial. I didn't need to write any code here. I'm just saying I only want this to be applied on the views folder. And then the next thing. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to show a little dialog box. So I'm going to show the dialog, and then when the result is done, I'm going to do my work. And what's the idea of this recipe? Well, quite easy. I just showed you the copy-paste. When you want to use the display modus, you have to do a copy-paste of each view into a view.mobile, .cshtml. This is going to do the work for me. So any file I select here, I'm going to copy, and I'm going to put the suffix in there, mobile or wphone or whatever. Okay, so let's build this one. So that's done, and I now need to put that into NuGet. So the way you do this is you first go to NuGet.org. Whoops, that's the wrong one. And in here, you register. If you've never done that, you register. Okay, and then you can download a little bit of tools to make it very easy to display. To publish something in NuGet. So I already done that. I'm not going to show you those steps, but what I'm going to do here is I'm in the folder that I just showed you, and in the folder I find my new spec file. Okay, so how do I put that in? How do I do this? I'm going to say NuGet. Could you please pack for me whatever I just built now? Could you pack for me this recipe, and I get this little warning, but you can ignore it in this moment. And then I'm going to push that up into NuGet. So I'm going to take my package, which is a new package, and I just built 1.3, which is a live package. So it's now being uploaded, and I'm ready to use it. Okay. So, next. Well, I could try it with my beer website. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use that new recipe. So I'm going to right-click, go back to NuGet. I'm going to look for recipe again. And with some luck, I should find it. Come on. No, wait a moment. There it is. So, I can hit install, and again, it's going to do all the work for me. So, next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my view folder. And now I have to warn you, that is something really awkward that they're doing here. So what I can do here is I can, for example, go right-click and then do this thing and then run a recipe. It's an awful place to put that. I actually had to look it up yesterday again. But where did they put that UI to run that recipe? Now, this is a preliminary version. In the future, it's going to be these recipes are not going to be part of MVC, but they're going to become part of NuGet itself. And Microsoft says that they're going to make it more natural. So what I can do now is I can use one of these things. I actually have two for the moment. And then in this dialogue, I can say, you know what? I would like you to build for me for maybe this controller, the home controller. Do all of these things. And then for my beer, maybe do these things as well. And I just hit this, and it just does the copying. So if I go to the home controller, in my views here, you now see that it did that work. And again, the idea is, with the recipe, you can repeat this multiple times. So if I again say run the recipe, I can run that once more and then get more stuff done. So that's the whole idea. So again, the recipe interface, I already showed you that in the demo. And then the way to get these things onto NuGet, it's really easy. The hardest part is to register on NuGet. But again, it's, of course, easy. So if you want to use the recipe, you first use NuGet to get it installed, and then you can just do add run recipe. Really weird. Okay. So what I want to show you with my session now is there's a new kind of web currently. On that web, you want to minimize the amount of stuff you're sending over the wire, which is a good thing, because now, instead of making the server do all the hard work, you can make the client do some of the hard work as well. Actually, if you use MVC, building that server side, building the JSON methods, that return JSON, that accept JSON, is really easy these days. I would even say it's easier than using Windows Communication Foundation, because I think a lot of people are now using Windows Communication Foundation for building JSON services. Well, MVC just has it out of the box. Also, learn things like JavaScript, HTML5, JSON. It's going to make you a way better web developer. And then with MVC4, this stuff is all built in and it becomes easy and natural. Okay, then this slide, which is if you want to look for these sessions, you'll be able to find them there later. You're going to find session recordings. Okay, so how much time do I still have? I'm open for questions. No questions? Yes.
What about the search on the web? So for Google, how it treats the fact that pages are rendered by JavaScript?
So the question is, if your browser is running all the JavaScript, how will the Google search, how will that work? Yeah, that's a tough one. Well, first of all, the way I built my site, the template is in the HTML. Of course, the content itself is not in the HTML. But doesn't Google run your JavaScript for you just to make sure that it gets everything? Sorry, that's not my strong point. So I have to say, sorry, I have no idea. Okay? Anyone else? Okay, then you'll have a slightly longer coffee break. Okay, thank you.